a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thank you for being a part of the program. Thanks for hanging out. If you miss any part of the show or any part of anything all day long here on the station, download all the podcasts wherever you find podcasts. Download Unrivaled. Find our mugs on KSLSports.com, and you can listen to us there. Stream the station, etc. Boy, busy weekend of sports, and here we are to jam about it. Scott, welcome back, buddy. We missed you on Friday.
Oh, thank you. You had a show on Friday?
Yeah, it's funny when you do go out of town, you forget. You and Jeremy both.
I thought I did the show on Friday, but I didn't.
I actually thought the same thing. But Mitch filled in for you, and we had a grand old time.
Oh, thank you.
You did. I listened for a minute.
Oh, yes. Mitch was on.
When I was delayed at the airport, I listened for a while.
Hey, that was a minute longer than I listened.
Hey, when you're on vacation, don't. Like, I don't dip in at all. No. I mean, I love you guys.
I'm just more dedicated, I guess. That's all it means.
Jeremy's always dipping in, checking to see how the station's going. That's how much love he has for the program. Well, we've got a lot to get through. Not the least of which is, did I win the bracket officially? Did I win the bracket?
Give me
I don't know.
You have UConn.
Somebody.
Maybe.
UConn got in, but I have them losing to whomever. I don't have a champion. I don't have a final contender. If you have two... Here's what I figured out. If you have two of the final four, I owe you a kiss on the mouth because I don't know a soul who picked maybe more than UConn.
You are up by 20 points.
Yes.
Over PK and Jake.
Right, but who do they have in their finals?
I'll get there. Give me a second.
Okay, Jeremy's going to look it up because if I won this thing, then it's going to be double birds the rest of the week from me to everybody. All right? You're welcome.
Why? This was not on the rundown. We weren't supposed to talk about this.
Are you surprised by this, Scott?
Come on.
Am I surprised by it?
What? You guys can't have a conversation with each other while I'm standing here.
Yeah, I'm surprised by it. I'm shocked.
You're shocked that you
lost?
I'm
shocked and dismayed.
What place did you get, Jeremy? You're pretty close. You're getting there.
I was in fifth place. There are a couple of ties ahead of me.
Yeah, so there's not.
It's like, I'm not last.
Hey.
I'm not last.
I think I won the bracket. Boy, when you talk about madness, it was nobody picked this Final Four. I'm almost disappointed.
Do you think anyone's going to actually watch?
That's the thing is I'm almost disappointed. Like, I think it's cool San Diego State got there, but I know a lot of folks who just have there's a natural hate for San Diego State around here.
Official announcement, you are the winner.
No, really?
Because PK had UConn, but as far as you, he's done. Jake has no Final Four teams. He got second place.
Wow. But see, I think that if there's somebody rolling up further back, and maybe they have somebody that they picked that might be in the final. Maybe they have FAU going to the Final Four. Who had FAU? Is that good for basketball when you have FAU and San Diego State and UConn and Miami going to the Final Four? Listen, Miami's a big program, but not in basketball necessarily. Is this their first Final Four? It's definitely not UConn's, but this is like the new iteration of UConn. San Diego State, this is their first Final Four. FAU, congratulations. I think everybody, they were the most shocked about all this. They were as shocked as anybody that they got to the Final Four. So good for them.
So out of all of our air quotes experts,
yes.
I say, UConn was the only team anybody picked for the Final Four.
Yeah.
You and PK, that's it.
Okay, so I win. So now my son asked me, what do you get? And I said, I think they're rolling out a parade around Broadcast House later this week.
I'll get on that.
Is there a gift card?
Employees are ineligible.
I'm just saying, does our boss owe me something?
I don't know. I talked to Beth in the hallway. She was pretty high in her bracket, so talk to her and see.
Well, that's the kind of
thing. We're not experts. We're celebrity
pickers. Nose pickers.
So, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on college basketball. I don't pay attention enough to it. I don't care enough to it.
We started off this whole bracket by saying, listen, we don't know what is going to go on with this, but we didn't imagine this.
No.
Your Furmans, your FDUs, your FAUs. I'm just telling you, I don't know if I should be really, really excited. Is this what the college football playoff is going to turn into in 30, 40 years? You're going to have FAU versus UTEP in one of the finals, and you go, I didn't imagine this.
What you're going to end up with is a G League minor league basketball taking all the kids out of high school, whether it's Europe or the U.S. Maybe it's a world-like minor league. And then the NCAA tournament is going to end up being like the NIT. It's going to be just kind of a second rate,
Don't call it second rate.
And then,
UVU's in the semifinals. Let's go. Are they playing tomorrow?
Please.
They play tomorrow.
The NIT is not.
But the NIT used to be the national championship, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Now here we are.
Right, and that's my point. Mm. And the point is that this basketball talent is going to continue to get better and better, and the better players are going to go play professionally out of high school, somewhere else, and not in college.
All right. Well, this is
it's the one and done thing. Right. Come on, it's
I know. We'll get to it. We'll get to more of this. I want to start with this Jazz team. You have Jazz versus Suns tonight, right here on the airwaves. You're going to get the call from David Locke and Ron Boone right here. And so let's kick off the show as we always do with the cut. And I feel like we know the direction that these last nine games are going to go for this Jazz team. So let's kick everything off right here. It's the cut right here at the top of the program.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The program and the cut brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bar is perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Like half of our office now that they're all out of the refrigerator. So this is a call to you, G2G. We need more. Send more bars because everybody ate them over the last few days out of the fridge. Okay. Also by Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600 or their website, TrajanWealth.com, TrajanWealth.com. Jazz have now lost three in a row. They're in the ninth spot for the lottery. That could be as good as they do, depending on how, because everybody now seems to have turned on. I want to congratulate the Jazz because this has been an amazing season. I think maybe the funniest thing that was ever said at a Jazz press conference was said by Will Hardy.
Toughness, sacrifice, yeah. And passion.
No, it wasn't that. Did you see what happened at the press conference after they lost?
I did not.
So they lose to the Bucks 144-116 on Friday.
They got their
butts whipped to him. He sits down, and it was a massive sigh. We got to find it. But he had a massive sigh, and then he goes, boy, we almost had him. And everybody starts dying laughing. And he even starts, like Will Hardy, cracks a giant smile, puts his head in his hands, and just goes, yeah, we almost had him. I mean, I thought it was the best. I loved Will Hardy in that moment. I'm a fan of guys who are super self-aware, know exactly what's going on here. You could have had a coach come in there and go, and just given all the stupid, platitudes the coaches give about, I'm just proud of the heart of this team. You're not proud of the heart of losing 144 to 116. And it's not even about the Jazz necessarily as much as it was. The Bucks have hit a little bit of a stride, a lot of a stride. This is a team that
Well, you have Lauri Markkanen out. Come on.
Lauri Markkanen
is
out.
There comes a point when so many guys are out that you're out.
So it went along the lines of the things that I love from a Jazz basketball loss at this point of the year, which is now with Lauri out, you go, okay, I want to see who's going to step up, right? Friday night it was Fontecchio had 27, I think.
Yeah.
Walker Kessler on Saturday, they were in that thing going into the last 5 minutes against
on the road,
against
on
Sacramento.
Back-to-back.
Yes. And Lauri or Walker Kessler. I'm like, geez, who are those people? Walker Kessler walks in there, 19 at the half. He ends with 31 and 14 or 31 and 12, something like that. Like, this guy is
a rookie
in front of our eyes becoming. I mean, could he have nights like that? When you have Lauri, who's your A number one, what's a legitimate number line you want to see from Walker Kessler going forward?
I don't know that it's a number line. All I know is what with Walker Kessler, what's fascinating about me with him in the future is everyone talks about his ability to move, his ability to catch the ball and do something with it after he has the ball. So he's Rudy Gobert was, you got to put the ball high and you got to put it on the rim. And Rudy Gobert would pull down rebounds. I mean, there's just some real fundamental things that Walker Kessler just innately so much better than where Rudy ever got to, ever. And so to me, it's what can that game evolve into? Everyone says defensive specialist, and I think we're so caught up here in Utah with a center that has to be a defensive specialist, but Walker Kessler has, it looks like, moves and ability to be very offensive as well. And how amazing is that? And maybe there's some range to his game, you know, where it's not right under the basket and there's just something, and I don't think you're gonna see
right.
all of this with Walker Kessler in this first year. So to me, it's what do those moves turn into? What is that length? You know, what is that ability to catch the ball? What, you know, you've seen him shoot threes. I mean, he's, you know, you hate to go, yeah, go out on the perimeter and be that kind of guy. Cause I think his game's better suited more near the basket, but at least he has some range. But here's something that I found over the weekend. And I actually did some research. I did some homework.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah. All of these teams in the West, from 7 down to the Portland Trailblazers, which I think are 13, you know what they all have? Nobody has a cupcake schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah.
None of these teams.
Nope.
I mean, Utah plays Oklahoma City and the Lakers. They play the Lakers twice. They don't play the Pelicans or the Timberwolves. Or the Mavericks, or the so, but these teams have hard schedules. All the teams left, so this thing could just fluctuate up and down. It's like everyone's trying to lose, but it's like everyone's trying to lose. You know, all, I mean, like literally, you know, it may look like this when it's all over, and none of them have any more wins than they have right now. So. The thing about the Jazz is I don't see how you can keep minusing players and keep, you know, expecting to pull rabbits out of your hat
I think what ends up happening is you just look at a game, you just look at the game by game kind of development, obviously, of some of these guys, but you look for moments like Walker Kessler had the other night, a career night for him. And, you know, I was looking at, I will say this, and this is, don't take this as me being, you know, pointing and laughing or being critical, except for that I watched the Timberwolves and Warriors game last night, and Rudy Gobert has still not found that place.
His spot. Yeah.
He has not found that place really in Minnesota.
He's a unique player.
He's averaging about the same type of numbers. He's like a 13 and – or he's like a 13 and 12 and a half kind of guy. And Walker Kessler is a 9 and 9 and averages almost a full block more than Rudy does even. Now, part of that is because people just don't go to the rim with Rudy there. I still think you have a lot of people trying out Walker Kessler going, yeah, but I could probably get him. You know, there's a lot of that where people go, yeah, no, I could get that guy. Instead, I think you have Walker kind of growing up in front of our eyes and us looking and saying, so what's the next iteration? We had the same thing happen this year of Lowry Markkanen, what's the next part of his game that he can develop to become even better and even bigger? And no one expected him to have that year. I think he probably thought, I could do this if I'm allowed to do it, and he's been allowed to do it. And so I think about those guys who they've already have packed up for the season, because tonight's game versus the Phoenix Suns, questionable is Lowry Markkanen. Don't question him anymore. Just keep him out. Like, who wants to have the left hand, left wrist situation just continue? Jordan Clarkson's been ruled out. Rudy Gay has been ruled out. Colin Sexton.
Rudy Gay's out?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, man.
Settle down. Colin Sexton, of course, ruled out. So you're talking about those three guys, Lowry, JC, and Colin Sexton. When the team has all three of those guys, you have a feeling like they could just get anybody kind of on any given night, because they have this this crazy kid, Kessler, underneath. You have these guys who come in and have been part of these rotations. I love to see how interesting. This offseason for the Jazz is going to be 500 times more interesting than it was last year. And that's with losing Donovan Mitchell, and that's with losing Rudy Gobert. I think the reason that last year was some insane movement, but it wasn't good movement. The stuff that happens in the offseason is going to feel like just a ray of hope. Everything in the offseason is going to go, what can Will Hardy do with that name now? And so every name that you're going to add to this Jazz roster in the offseason, every name you're going to add is going to feel exciting, because you know what you're going to get coaching-wise. And so you don't have to go, I wonder what kind of coach Will Hardy's going to be. I wonder what kind of a teammate Walker Kessler's going to be. I wonder what kind of a scorer Lowry Markkanen is going to be. You don't have those questions now. You look and you go, all right, there's a certain expectation for these dudes going forward. And you should be so dang excited how the Jazz are going to be handling this year. Okay. I have no idea. What does it matter, a 10th pick in the lottery? What does it matter?
Well, I think it matters. I think what matters about picks isn't necessarily what it is. It's the probability. If you get a higher pick, the probability of getting a better player goes higher. Does it always happen? No. Do you pick the right pick? No. Do you get close to the right pick? Sometimes it feels like Danny Ainge is the kind of guy who just gets lucky. And maybe it's not that he just gets lucky. Maybe he really does his homework.
Yeah, I don't think you can get lucky that many times.
But there's going to come a point with all of this. You know, we sit here and we speculate about what this player looks like, what he's going to turn into, you know, what kind of coach is Will Hardy. I don't think we know any of it yet. And I don't think we know anything, because this year there was no expectation. So it's kind of like when the backup quarterback comes into play. Man, that guy's good. You know, Brock Purdy, man, he's pretty good. but is he really? You know, and because you're talking about all these new guys coming in and they all kind of play good for a while, mm-hmm. and you have to believe, if you're the Phoenix Suns, you go, okay, I know how to guard Jordan Clarkson. We have a book on him. We know how to, you know, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen. We know how we're going to handle those players. All these new guys coming in, it's like, I don't even know who he is. I don't know what kind of game he has. And so you kind of just play it straight up. You know, you don't. And I think that's part of, you know, and I'm not knocking some of these players, but to be really good in the NBA, it takes more than 5 minutes, and it takes more than 5 games, and it takes season after season. And that includes Lauri Markkanen. You know, what does Lauri Markkanen turn into in a year? And is Walker Kessler go, yeah, you know, gosh, I'm pretty darn good, and he doesn't put the work in.
I'm pretty darn good.
Does there become an expectation with this team and with a Lauri Markkanen and with a, you know, this is fun and we're all in the honeymoon period right now and we're all in this is exciting speculation about the future. But when the future gets here, is this team going to meet up to those expectations, or were we blinded by the fact that the Jazz are still way out of the playoffs? Like, they're not a very good team, like, as far as their record speaks.
Yeah, sure.
So they've got some ways to go. We like what we're seeing. We like the potential of it. But at what point are we really going to go, okay, now you better start winning some games. You better start winning in the playoffs. And I just wonder when that's going to happen. And I wonder if, you know, because think of the Jazz a few years ago. They had the best record in the NBA, and then that next year, everyone, the expectation was so high. Like, they just said, okay, we're running it back. We're not trading anyone. We're not going to get rid of anybody. We're going to just go with this team. And it was abysmal. It was terrible. And so I just hope the Jazz don't get caught up in that, hey, this was an amazing year. This is not an amazing year. It's been fascinating. It's been interesting. It's been fun to watch. But it's not a great year. Great years are when you win championships.
Gosh, quit and, bringing us back down well, to no, earth but with because, this team, man. I got to no, I want to stay I'm in the clouds a little bit.
I'm not bringing it down to earth. I'm just saying, like, I don't disagree with what you said about this offseason. But when they bring in a guy, like, next year, let's say they go out and they sign someone in free agency, or let's say they go out and they draft someone, they better be as good as Ochai Agbaji was his rookie year. They better be as good as Walker Kessler. That's what we're setting ourselves up for a lot of expectations. And Lauri Markkanen's game better get better next year. Or else we're going to be like, well,
can it just stay at this same level of almost scoring 30 points a game?
No.
What's wrong with that?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. If he stays at this level, amazing. I don't think he's a guy that's not going to do that.
I don't see him falling off. I mean, but he has a thing that he's doing now.
But we didn't think the Jazz were going to fall off the year after they had the best record in the NBA. We didn't think Donovan Mitchell was going to stop playing defense.
Simone Fontecchio also out tonight's game.
Oh, man.
Turf toe. That's what it says.
Turf toe's a thing.
I know.
Make fun of turf toe.
Can't you call it court toe? Hardwood toe. No, Jeremy, no. Let's try again. Let's workshop this thing.
Okay, turf is like a description of like...
No, I get it. Field. I've had it.
So let's call it wood. Wood toe.
Listen.
He got wood toe.
It's a Goldfinger wood toe.
He got a splinter. Toenail and his...
Oof. Yeah. That is like a poor man's 007 wood toe.
Wood toe. You know, I'll tell you what is the worst thing in the world to get with your toe. Well, turf toe is.
Turf toe is bad. Turf toe is bad.
Hangnails are really bad.
Yeah.
And when you like actually go hiking and you have too long of toenails, and then you like basically rip your big toe out of the toe bed.
I've had the turf toe, and the turf toe is your toe bending a direction it should not go, and it's bad. It's like jamming your finger, but it's jamming your big toe.
Literally, your big toe is one of the absolute most important
toes.
Physical feature. No, because think all of your movement starts with you touching the ground, and that without that big toe, you ain't going anywhere. You ain't doing anything in sports.
Scott, one of the biggest signings over the weekend, of course, was Zava, who signed with AFC Richmond, which you and I are following very closely.
Wow. I know. Zava.
Zava.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this character?
Dude, Zava, man.
It's not spoilers. I'm not. Listen,
the only one not happy about it.
It's not a spoiler because it's just a character you've never even heard of.
Jamie Tartt's not mad. He's not happy about it.
I just want to. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Jamie Tartt.
Yeah, he's it's difficult. Well, we'll have more of that. We'll roll that out. But Simone Fontecchio out, Colin Sexton out, Rudy Gay out, Jordan Clarkson out, Lauri Markkanen game time decision. Ooh, that's a good one for we don't have our What Are the Odds this week, so we'll do our today. We have our weekend warriors, but maybe we'll sneak that in and see.
I hope Simone Fontecchio stays with the Jazz.
Me too.
You know why? He's
you
got
just
a
like
name.
Saying the name. Yeah,
he has a name. Yeah. Simone Fontecchio.
Ooh, I had a side of Fontecchio this weekend.
Tony Agnone. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. We'll come back when we do. Let's chat a little bit about some of these brackets. And is this really...
Can we not?
Is it awesome that this is the Final Four, or is it like a massive letdown that your ones, twos, and threes are all out? I don't know what historically where this is. I want to see if there's ever been a 1, 2, and 3 never in the Final Four. We're going to find that out. We'll come back. We've got more to go here on the program. Welcome to your Monday. Thanks for being with us. It is Unrivaled 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Next stop, Houston for Connecticut. For the sixth time in school history, the first since 2014, the Connecticut Huskies are going to the Final Four. Connecticut with a dominant win, 82-54 over Gonzaga, and now on to Lone Star State, where Connecticut will play for another national championship.
I did a little digging because, you know, you got to do a little bit of digging. UConn, of course, goes to the Final Four. Not a new place for them, but But the Jim Calhoun era has been over for a minute, and so I think having UConn get back is, it's not like, oh, an elite team is back. I think that it deserves a little bit more of a, hey, look, one of your historic coaches goes away, and you have to kind of rebuild again, and coaching matters in college basketball more than it does in some of these other sports, and so I think that what they've done is interesting. FAU goes to a Final Four, so you've got FAU, you've got UConn, you have Miami. My heavens. And then the San Diego State Aztecs, of course. Well, and I'm going to be honest, I hope San Diego State wins a freaking national title. Imagine how crazy it is that Kawhi Leonard plays at SDSU when he did. And I got to cover Jimmer and Kawhi when they played each other. And that was such a fun matchup. And to think neither of those guys really went that deep in the tournament. A Sweet 16 appearance by Jimmer could have been a lot better. Obviously, I think if they would have had Brandon Davies, you'd see a different result there maybe. But imagine how much effort has to go into that. Here's a little stat for you. Out of all the teams that's mascots are the Owls, FAU is the first one to make it to the Final Four. There's a little stat of the day there, Scott.
Temple Owls didn't make it to the Final Four?
Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah, you're correct. Hold on, let me look here. But it's the first year that there are the first year that ones or twos didn't make it to the final. Yeah, the Temple Owls won two national titles. So they'll be the second second to the party of Owls. Scott with the
I know my animals.
Scott with the correction. Yeah. I'm surprised you knew that that was their mascot, to be honest.
Temple?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Oh, my goodness. Just a crazy bracket, because I'm looking at it and I'm going, is this worse for basketball or is it better? When you have, because we ask for why you can get these crazy outcomes. You don't have any ones, twos, or threes in the Final Four. You have a four seed, which is the highest one with UConn. You have a fifth seed is San Diego State. What's Miami? They're a five also, right? And then FAU is a nine. First nine seed in quite a bit in the Final Four as well. You don't see a lot of nine seeds ever get to the Final Four.
So you have to look at what's happened to college basketball with this one and done. I think there's an impact on that. And the question I have, or the curiosity, is are these one and dones changing culture? And is it the teams that have more culture? And I haven't looked that deep into San Diego State or Florida or, you know, Miami or whomever. But is it having older players, more mature players, guys that have played together longer, does that win out in college basketball today? Or is it, you know, the one and dones, are they having the same kind of impact? I don't know, but it seems like that's kind of the thing that's changing, and maybe maybe the other side of it is there's just such an evolution in sports, and players are they're taught better. They have better access to things at younger ages, and it's everything. You know, it's a mind coach. It's a movement coach. It's a, you know, a coach for this and that and whatever. And these players just get exposure to a point where there's more. There's only so many spots in on a basketball team, right? I mean, you can only have so many guys at Kansas, or you can only have so many guys at North Carolina, or wherever these schools are. Right. I mean, ultimately, these players have to go somewhere else. And maybe some of them are really good, and maybe they, you know, they're getting into some of these unknown schools simply because academically it's a lot easier for them to get into these schools. I don't know if it is or it isn't, but clearly something is going on, because it's not one. And I think we saw it throughout the tournament, right? I mean, you saw it in the beginning, you saw it in the middle, and you saw it at the end.
So a crazy outcome. I mean, it's already one of the most crazy outcomes for a Final Four. No 1-2s or 3s in the history of the seeding, like the seeding that we have now, I guess, which would be just over about 44 years. So no 1-2s or 3s. If I think everybody would recognize, if Florida Atlantic wins this thing, that would be the most insane national title. Would that be the craziest top-end title we've ever seen? But college basketball produces this kind of stuff. When you think about, like, we talk about some of these teams that go to the Final Four. Like Gonzaga would never be on anybody's radar anywhere, but that became a program based off of being a Cinderella. And at some point, they stopped becoming a Cinderella, and it's just a year-in, year-out, you know, an Elite Eight, almost an automatic to the Sweet 16. And more often than not, they're in the Elite Eight, and certainly in the last few years, they seem like they've been in the Final Four a bunch. So,
and they're really good at recruiting to who they are. Right?
Yes, 1,000%.
They get the player. They have this culture. They have this understanding. They know what they're looking for, and they're able to go get it. Because a lot of times it's like, well, maybe this guy is off people's radar, or he's not, you know, whatever. And they, you know, recruiting culture has been a massive thing for Gonzaga, and maybe they're setting a standard for other schools. Maybe Florida Atlantic goes, look, let's follow the Gonzaga model. Let's look at what they do and how they do this, and see if there isn't something to this, where, because you don't have to have that many players.
Let me ask you this, because Mitch Harper on Friday, we were talking about this because Gonzaga was taking on UConn over the weekend, and they lost by 28. I think it was the biggest loss in an Elite Eight that they'd had in, I think, ever. Not just them. I think any team losing by 28 plus in the Elite Eight just didn't happen very often. And Mark Few's team just ran out of gas. And Drew Timmy gets into foul trouble really early, and again in the second half. And it was bad. But the reports were that as soon as the tournament were over for the was going to be over for the Gonzaga Bulldogs, that they were going to get an invite from the Big 12 for a basketball only deal. Mitch hates the idea. He's like, I do not want to see that. And I thought, well, why? Is it just because you don't like playing Gonzaga? Does that add value? I don't know what that does. Brett Yormark, the possibility of him just reaching out, and he just tries to grab teams. He's aggressive, right? But having a basketball only, like associate or an affiliate membership,
well, Notre
or whatever
Dame does
it is.
That with the ACC?
Sure.
What's wrong with that?
But I just wonder if, and I don't know what the problem is. If you could add, I mean, it's already a really it's already an insane conference. Would Gonzaga be able to have the type of success that they do year in and year out if they were in the Big 12? I'm not saying could they beat a Big 12 team. Obviously they can.
I actually think they could, and I do, because they've already established a tremendous foundation, and now that they're tied to a bigger conference, I think it allows them to maybe get some recruits that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I think it actually gives Gonzaga an opportunity to definitely elevate its game. Like, you go, okay, look, we've got a tremendous program. And not only, you know what, they put guys in the pros.
Yeah.
It's like, come to a great – and Spokane is a beautiful part of the country.
Oh,
I mean,
come on.
It's amazing in Spokane. There's Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, right next door.
You go, you know, Spokane's amazing. And then you name another city in another state. But it's, talk about it, how amazing it
but
is.
But it's not.
I love Las Vegas. St. George is beautiful.
Look, there's Washington. Like, there's Washington West and there's Washington East.
Yes,
and they're
there
two
is.
Different things. This yes, isn't the is. Palouse. Okay, this is actually a pretty part of the state of Washington, but prettier.
I'm giving you.
I've been there. I've seen it.
So have I many times.
I live there. I'm from Washington.
I'm not. I would definitely not claim Spokane ever, even if I were from there.
So. Yeah, but there is the potential.
No, there's not. Think about it.
No, there's the potential of definitely upping your recruiting game if you're in the Big 12.
You know what though?
Why not invite San Diego State now?
Hey, listen, I've always said it. Spokane is the Lubbock of Washington.
Right.
So that works. It's the Spokane is the Pullman of the Big 12. No. Pullman and Spokane are different.
They're way different.
They're not way different.
They're different.
They're not vastly different.
They're vastly different. Trust me.
They're not.
There are trees.
Oh, my gosh.
There are trees in Spokane.
There are some pretty places in Spokane-ish.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is about as beautiful as it gets.
Stop bringing up Coeur d'Alene. It's not Spokane.
It's right in the same area.
Oh,
it's
ish.
It's down the street. It's on the same road.
Oh.
Look, As I just said, why not invite San Diego State then? I mean, if you're going to invite Gonzaga, I mean, San Diego State, Final Four.
Well, they might. Listen, if they want to.
That's Brett Yarmark's.
Yarmark. Yarmark. You've made the Pirates.
Yarmark. Yo, Yarmark Pirate. His deal is maybe that's what he's doing because there's talks about, you know, other folks.
Well, San Diego State.
Why not San Diego State? Why not trump the Pac-12?
Just throw them the invite. Boise State and San Diego State. Boom, there you go.
And Fresno State.
Does
UNLV.
Does a performance like this in the NCAA tournament for San Diego State? Does that go far for their future? Their possible future in a Power Five conference? Or do you look at it and you go, yeah, I mean, basketball's different. We just look at it differently. If San Diego State won a national title in basketball, which is hilarious that we would even say it like that because we're like, yeah, right. But they and Miami are the two favorites, right? Like in terms of who could be the team, right? Who could be the guy who could win the national championship? If San Diego State does, I mean, or does a Final Four appearance like they have right now, does that make...
I'm shocked that San Diego State is not recognized more than it is.
Isn't it because no one cares about the football
program?
But
why would you not care? I mean, like, why could you not have a great program? First of all, San Diego in and of itself is a football town. The Chargers forever. And now the Chargers are gone. Why not just blow up the San Diego State? And you have the potential to just do so much there. If I was going to go to Southern California, I would go to San Diego before I go anywhere.
Hmm.
Maybe Newport Beach. I don't know. But there's no school in Newport Beach.
Malibu, you could be the Pepperdine Wave, man.
USC is not in a great part of town.
No. Downtown is Sketchville.
And UCLA is like in one part of town, and then their football stadium's in another part of town.
Yes.
It's weird. San Diego State should be a whole lot more... San Diego State, I believe, or the San Diego area, is definitely a Power Five kind of place.
Okay.
If you ask my opinion.
Yeah, I like it. Okay.
Florida Atlantic.
Yeah. The Owls. Where's
that? In Boca Raton?
Yeah, it is in Boca Raton.
That was a good guess. I knew it was somewhere along there.
The rat, the mouth of the rat, yes.
Yeah. But, like...
You don't have anything good to say about Boca Raton?
It's like, no, Boca Raton's nice.
Okay.
No, that's
It's a beautiful retirement community.
Right. It's just like, how do you get a basketball power in Boca Raton?
My heavens. I have no idea. I mean, Dusty May, what he's done there. I watched him after the game, and I was just like, this guy. I mean, they're in the Final Four, and they're playing San Diego State. This is the best shot for them. This is the best chance for them to get to a final. I mean, why would you count them out against anybody else? They just keep mowing down teams. It's wild to think that the run that they've had to beat Tennessee, Memphis, Kansas State, who everybody was hoping Kansas State was. That was the team everybody was looking at and was just like, oh, look at there. Look at this. Look at the story they have there. And they were losing the whole freaking game, Florida Atlantic was. And they came back and won that thing, man.
I have to apologize.
What? For Boca Raton?
No.
Your Boca Raton comment?
No. Boca Raton is amazing.
No. I can't wait. Hold on, roll on this, Jeremy. I can't wait for this apology.
Here's my apology. I have to apologize to you, Alex.
Oh, hey.
Okay? Yes. Because you won the bracket.
It's true.
And if I can't win the bracket, there's only one other person I'd want to win the bracket. It's my running mate here, right? like we're a team here. So
you're going to buy association?
By association.
You're a bracket winner?
No.
Now, listen,
I'm a loser.
He's not in top five.
No, I am top five.
Yes. I think you're seven.
No, you have to look at them because they're grouped together.
What's Jeremy? What'd you finish?
Oh, I'm tied for fourth.
So if we did points finish,
and I'm fifth.
What show did the best? Like if we were to go
of course, come on.
Yeah. I mean, we got the winner, we got fourth place, we got allegedly a fifth place.
There's no alleged to it.
PK did make a good run though because PK was pretty far down the list.
PK was like that lady who appeared at the end of the Boston Marathon. She just ran the last mile.
He took the taxi yeah. to the end.
Somehow.
I actually watched a full documentary on that lady. Yeah. It was fascinating. Because the best was they're all, oh my gosh, like how did you train for this? Who did you train? She goes, I trained myself. And they go, that's crazy. So like, what are your intervals? And she's like, I don't know what that is. Okay. That's how you win.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't fake the bracket.
That's
the
a numbers... bold move by that lady.
Oh,
anyway, awesome. So I don't want to minimize this because I am apologizing.
I won. I appreciate it. You don't need to apologize for me winning.
Yeah. No. I.
But I am going
to
bring.
I apologize for my wanting to just brush over this and not even discuss it.
Any good radio, any good radio couple, I'm going to recall this forever. Okay, I'll bring this up in any of the fights we have in the future. It's just like a bad marriage. I'm going to keep bringing up. All the stuff that I know is going to be sensitive.
Sometimes when you apologize, it doesn't mean you're wrong. Okay? You're just apologizing.
Wow.
Doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong.
Men, ReMedical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized to your needs. So let's get to it. Give them a call. ReMedical.com is the website. That's ReMedical.com. We'll come back. We've got our weekend warriors, so people who won the weekend. And we've got a lot of them, so stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jazz. Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you had a great weekend. Hopefully your bracket is as blown up as everybody else's in the planet is. Like, who's the person who puts... I think UConn is the only Final Four team, maybe a sparse Miami here and there. I mean, they were the ACC champs, right? The regular season champs. Wait, didn't they win the ACC regular season? Duke won the tourney. Duke won the ACC tournament. So either way, but like they're a fifth seed coming out of so they were the regular season champ in the ACC. But I don't know what the who would have these teams. San Diego State, great. They've been good over the years, right? But not this good. It's insane. It's awesome. But I also have no idea how you would ever come up with these. And there are people with UConn. I had UConn in the Final Four, and I thought that was a crazy stretch. And that was the thing that put me through and over the top to win our bracket. But FAU, SDSU, Miami, UConn, congrats, everybody. So San Diego State takes on FAU and UConn taking on Miami. Don't try to guess how those games are gonna shake out. I was reading a story today about that exact thing. Hey, underdogs are great, Scott, but this is going too far. It's like, underdogs, know your role. You're supposed to win at the beginning of the tournament, not later.
How dare you?
But this is what we ask for, right? This is what we've wanted.
No.
We say we want this in the college football playoff, though. I want some wrenches thrown in the mix here. But do we want San Diego State to go to a college football playoff semifinal?
You just want it to be spread around a little. I don't have a problem with any of this. I good for these schools. I'm so glad. I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I think
I'm not
it's interesting. Someone very unusual is going to. I just hope it's not UConn who wins a national championship. Because then you go,
they've won it before. Yeah. Okay. So it's our Weekend Warriors brought to you by Weed Man.
Yes.
Today's great lawns make fun play spaces. I'll tell you today, we got 2 feet of snow up at my house in Davis County. And apparently nobody else got snow. I was finding out when I drove in today. I was like, what's going on here? We got killed with snow. Nobody else did. But our kids' school got canceled. Or, sorry. You know what the new move is now? And thank COVID for this. Mm. Remote learning. So they don't have to take a school. It's great. Gives you the best of both worlds. Remote learning, quote unquote. And then you don't have to have a end of the year makeup day. So good for them. And my kids are playing on the lawns right now, but in the snow. When that snow melts, though, which will be in like 2 seconds, get Weed Man going. Weedman.com. To get to your lawn looking beautiful for this spring and summer. All right. I'm going to throw out one that we didn't have on the rundown, but Mark Harlan just won an award for Athletic Director of the Year. So big ups to Mark Harlan.
Yay.
Good job, Mark.
Outstanding.
I think about who were we talking about last year? Who were we talking with last week when we go, dude, Utah is in as good of a spot. Maybe it was somebody we had on. Oh, no, it was Matt Zemek on Friday from USC. Or he covers USC for Trojans Wire, and he goes, "They're the team that is like by far in the best spot right now in this conference is Utah. Like they just every program, not just football, seems to be hitting pretty dang well. And you know the basketball team's got a little bit of way to go, but I mean the performance that they have from the women's basketball team, their programs across the board are like really showing up. And Mark Harlan has done a phenomenal job. He deserved every bit of the accolade for winning.
And he did, I'll tell you. So it's the most teams that have qualified for NCAA championship competition in school history or a bowl game is 8. This is in the 2021-22 school year.
Okay.
The Utes had 4 teams win conference championships. The football team went to its second consecutive Pac-12 championship.
Remember
and
what
won.
The big knock was? Can't win right. conference titles.
The ski team won a national championship. For the like gymnastics finished third in a row. And here's in the Director's Cup, which is through Learfield.
Yeah.
They ranked 25th in Division I schools.
Yes.
Okay. Second in the Pac-12 only to Stanford.
For sure.
Yeah. Highest graduation rate, 93% graduation rate. Which actually is 4th highest among all Power 5 public institutions.
Nice.
Pretty amazing.
Well done.
Yeah.
So there
quite,
you go.
Quite a remarkable. And, of course, the women's basketball team this year had just an amazing year.
Well, it certainly is tremendous. Look, what he's done.
Okay, let me tell you how amazing it is, Alex.
Yeah.
When I was there, like it was not where it is today. It wasn't
really
even close. Like I think in our wildest dreams and hopes and imaginations, we never got this far. We never were like, oh, yeah, this is what – with all the infrastructure that they've put into place, the facilities, with the programs, with where they are, it is truly a remarkable place. It really is. And I think it's gone way beyond what anyone thought about. And it's about, you know – as they say, and I love it, they invest in people and they invest in facilities. That was kind of the mantra of everything, and they really put their money where their mouth was.
Well, it's well-deserved. Speaking of well-deserved, you don't fake your way into the Final Four. Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, a couple of teams that were very, very interesting to watch through this run, and I think FAU is as good of a story as we've seen in college basketball in this tournament in a long time. Take a listen to how these guys got there and what it sounded like on their radio.
3-point FAU lead. No timeouts for Kansas State. 6.9 to go. Inbounds to Noel. Across midcourt with 5. And he's not fouled. They give it to Massoud. 1 second as ripped out by Davis. Time runs out. Florida Atlantic. Fantastic. awesome, unreal. Dusty Mays Owls are going to the Final Four. A school that had never won an NCAA tournament game before this season, and they are going to Houston. FAU is Final Four bound.
Could you imagine? Never even won an NCAA tournament game. Going to the Final
Four. Insane. This is like Texas Western back. You know, they're now UTEP.
Mm-hmm.
Don Haskins.
When they beat UCLA.
No, they beat
Kentucky. The Kentucky.
Yeah.
But that year was, I think, one where UCLA had won, I think, 9 in a row or something like that.
That was before that.
It was before that?
Yeah.
Let me see.
It was in the early 60s okay. This happened. I think 61. UCLA was later.
Either way.
Do we have San Diego State's call?
Oh, do we? Let's take a listen.
Inbounds. And the celebration for San Diego State on the right side lets everybody know that they are not even going to continue this ball game. It is over. The San Diego State Aztecs, for the first time in program history, will head to the Final Four.
There you go. San Diego State also
first time
in the
good
in
for
the
them.
Final Four. I think
Seriously,
it's awesome.
That's amazing.
I think it's to have this kind of a thing going on. Like I don't like Miami. I'm not a big fan of San Diego State, like his programs. But you can't deny the fact that these guys, like they made it happen.
Do you think they like their uniforms?
Miami?
No, San Diego State.
I like them.
You like them?
Yeah. Why do you not like them?
I don't know. I don't know that the red and black works together.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
See, this is you. This is the bias coming out from
two
years ago when they lost to San Diego State there.
A little bit.
In San Diego.
Right.
That ruined your day.
It wasn't,
man.
San Diego. It was like Carson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Where's their new stadium? Is that where it is still,
no,
too?
No, it's in San Diego.
Oh, okay. Good for them. I went to football camp at San Diego State when I was a kid.
Congratulations.
No, I have a little special place in my heart for San Diego State. No, I don't. I mean, I went there one time. I don't really like San Diego State.
Was Don Coriel at San Diego State then?
Oh, I don't know.
Was he there then?
I can't remember. We tried to go as far away from home as possible. It's like, Mom, where can I go to football camp? Ooh, we found a place.
You know who coached there with him?
Who?
At San Diego State.
Who?
John Madden.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
With Don Coriel. John Madden and Joe Gibbs. You imagine having those guys on your staff when you're coaching in college?
Pretty wild.
That'd be fun.
Let me see here. How many times has Miami been to the Final Four?
None.
Any times? Nope.
One.
One time this year.
That's it.
Final Four this year. This was only their second. They were in the Elite Eight, by the way, last year. Yeah, one Final Four, two Elite Eights. I mean, they made it to the Elite Eight last year. They were one game away from the Final Four last year.
I'm in Detroit, Michigan about this time of year, 1996.
Yep.
And Utah ends up going to
the Final Four.
Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going. It's such a cool thing when it's such a cool thing when your school gets invited. That's what's cool about this. They got invited to the dance, and then they ended up at the end of the dance.
They won
the competition, and that's a special thing.
I remember exactly where I was when they played North Carolina or Kentucky for that final.
Yep.
I
was in the Alamo Dome.
And it's like, dude, they have this thing wrapped up. They're running away with this thing.
I know. They were winning at halftime.
It wasn't like an insignificant lead either. Okay, well, let's take a break. We come back. Spencer Linton from BYU TV. BYU Sports Nation is going to join us. He's filling in for JJ today on the TV side of things. So we're going to make him fill in for JJ on the radio side of things. So stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. More to go around the corner.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for being with us on the program. It is a beautiful Monday. We got absolutely blasted with snow at my house. Kids' school canceled or remote learning engaged, I guess. Wink. And the rest of the valley seems like nobody got as much snow as we did up north. I don't know why. I don't know why. We were just blessed with the moisture, Scott. Maybe you guys should have prayed harder.
Congratulations.
All right. I was just excited that we had all this snow. I'm supposed to love it because my wife is like, we love the snow, we love the snow. And then when you get it this much, you just have to say gracias. So there we are, tons of snow on a snowy. By the way, it was 79 degrees 1 year ago today at Salt Lake City Airport. And today I had to shovel my driveway and snowblow the driveway twice. So that's where we're at. Hey, speaking of where we're at, on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, we're going to have Jeff Donovan from our Get Your ERC Refunds is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that. If you want to get that employee retention credit, Jeff's going to tell you how tomorrow. There's still money available, so we'll let you know about that. Let's kick off the show as we always do with the cut at the top of the hour, and we are joined, my heavens, we haven't talked to Spencer Linton in so long. He's going to join us right now, so let's do it. Let's get into the cut.
There we go.
The other question. Undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut, presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Costco, Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, and Maverick, all in the refrigerated section. Joining us on the program now, he is Spencer Linton from BYU TV. He's filling in for JJ today, not just on TV, but also with us. So what's up, Spencer? Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, I just can't get over the fact that it was 79 degrees 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. You blew my mind with that stat.
Hey, count your blessings, brother. Come
on. Spencer, if you stick around long enough, maybe by the time we get to July, it'll be 79 again.
It'll be 79 like in 2 days. Like, you know how it is here. So, boy, I like feel like we need to catch up. What's been going on, dude? Like, you guys have been just like working your tail off down at BYU TV because you got all this new movement going around in the Big 12. You got all this stuff going on. You guys had the pro day last week. You guys were broadcasting live from the facility. And so catch us up here, what the spring's been like for BYU football and the end of basketball season. Where are we at here?
Yeah, let's just start with the recency bias of pro day and how great it was to have a reunion of sorts. You know, not just guys that are participating in front of, you know, all 32 NFL teams that were at the pro day, but to have, like, the NFL brotherhood come back. Sione Takitaki is there, and Zach Wilson, and Tyler Algier, and Harvey Long. I mean, there were just so many guys there to support these dudes as they begin what they hope are, you know, NFL careers. So a lot of fun last Friday. Did a two-hour show on BYU Sports Station, chronicled all of it, profiled all of it. Caleb Hayes stole the day. I mean, he's the off-the-radar dude that is running a 4.3 140, has a 40-inch vertical, puts up 17 reps on the bench, which I think would have been second or third most among all defensive backs if he were invited to the combine. His shuttle drills were ultra-fast. Caleb Hayes, to me, kind of took the Chris Wilcox approach of an off-the-radar defensive back. BYU's not known to put a ton of those guys into the NFL. And he may have just worked himself into a priority undrafted free agent signing, maybe sneaks into a seventh-round pick to join the other three guys we feel like are for sure going to get drafted with Blake Freeland, Jaren Hall, and Puka Nacua. But overall, successful pro day. As far as Jaren's performance goes, I said as much on social media today, but I feel like Jaren, his throwing session was so good, and spoke with his family after and his agent. Is the same agent that Ben Roethlisberger had, same guy that did Carson Wentz's $100 million-plus deal. He said, look, I've been to a lot of pro days. And I know the agents do this. They use hyperbole, but take it for what. Never seen a quarterback look as sharp and throw the ball as sharply as Jaren Hall did today. He may have just bumped himself up, you know, a round or two. And so projected fifth rounder, maybe he gets into the fourth round after a nice pro day. But that's kind of what's on top of mind right now.
Speaking of the pro day, once BYU enters the Big 12, which officially happens here this summer, what's the feeling around town about the having the pro day kind of as a centralized event in, I believe it's in Dallas, with the whole conference?
I think most people like the proactive approach by Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12. He's a guy that thinks big, dreams big, sees big dollar signs, comes from, you know, Jay-Z's entertainment group, is a Brooklyn guy, New York guy. I think they like it for the most part. There's a little bit of trepidation for the guys that typically, you know, wouldn't get an invite to a pro day. Like, you can, if you have your own school's pro day, those guys can still get a shot. Like, what happens to those guys? Are they just out of luck because there's not enough room for them? Maybe it's more of an incentive to play better and to be better if you want to try and get yourself
into...
It
helps you if you do that, by the way.
Yeah. Indeed it does. But I think that's the only little bit of trepidation is, what about the guys that feel like they deserve to be at a pro day but maybe don't get the invite from the Big 12 Conference? Is there a private event that they can host? Can the school still do something outside of the Big 12? Because what we've heard is, if you're not invited to the Big 12 thing, then that's it. You're done. So is there something made available for those guys that are a little bit too far off the radar to have their shot?
Spencer, one of the things that that we've been, of course, watching this this weekend has been the Final Four and just how, you know, getting down to the Final Four and in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, this is as insane of a Final Four as we've ever seen. And so, is that good is it awesome for college basketball, or do you kind of go, hey, listen, settle down a little bit? We like to see some of the same olds in there. We like to see the big programs, or is it just awesome to have a ton of Cinderella stories? It seems like in the Final Four.
Maybe I'm a Scrooge in this college basketball conversation, guys, because I just feel like I want at least one big name, at least one big name in the Final Four, and give the FAUs and the San Diego States a chance to knock off the juggernaut in the Final Four. It's fun, but I'm a little bit disinterested in watching San Diego State play Florida Atlantic. It's just like, okay, I like the UConn-Miami game, and I feel like whoever wins that game is going to win the national championship. But it's fun, but I want at least one big name in there. And let me rewind to 2011 when we had kind of a similar crazy Final Four with 11-seed VCU who came out of the first four.
Right.
And 8-seed Butler was in there, and it was like, oh, this is madness. And it was just kind of a dud of a Final Four and national championship. I think that was the game that Butler shot like 25% from the field. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, that was the one where Gordon Hayward almost hit that half-court shot to win, though, at the very, very end. How could you say that was against Duke?
No. That was the first one.
Oh,
Butler
that was
got
a,
back
that's
again.
Right.
Butler got back again and just could not make a shot, and it was just brutal. It was brutal.
Oh, boy. You know what, Spencer? You're talking like a guy whose bracket is absolutely in shambles, like the rest of us.
Like, that's I did have one Final Four team. I got UConn
so
in the Final Four.
So did I.
That got me the
Work Championship. I won the KSL Sports bracket just because of that. Just because of that. And no one can score points
invite.
Anymore.
Thanks for the invite to that bracket, by the way.
Well, you know, if you're not invited to our event, you can always have one on your own outside of what we're officially doing. But, you know, it's one of those things, if you play better and you are better, you do get the invitation.
Look at that.
I'm just saying.
Turning it around on you.
Well played, Scott.
There
well played, Scott. Oh, how I've missed you. I've missed you so much.
I'm pissed that you're not in studio because then we get the juicy stuff in the breaks.
Right.
You know, that's,
we like
that's,
to hear that stuff.
You better walk up here when you get in, dude.
What's going on? Yeah, come say.
I'm good for that.
Yeah.
What's going on with the spring football? What give us some insight there? What are you hearing about spring football? Keaton Slovis, anyone else? What's going on?
So I talked to Aaron Roderick on Saturday for, you know, probably 20 minutes just to kind of get insight into Keaton and his progression. And Aaron's not a guy that unlike NFL agents, he does not use hyperbole. He's very, very even keel. And I tried to push his buttons to try and get more emotion out of him. He's like, it's just not me. But he'll shoot you straight. And he used, you know, some typical buzzwords that fans are going to love to hear in as far as, like, a quarterback goes. He said, Keaton's been consistent. It's like he's been in my program for 3 years. He said, there is an occasion and now and again where he'll make a mistake that kind of shows that he is still new in this specific BYU system, but overall he's like, he's just a veteran player. He's super super accurate. He opens up the middle of the field, and guys have just embraced him. And he, you know, he's excited to see what Keaton can do when, you know, he has a full accoutrement of healthy options. His running back, the UNLV transfer, Aiden Robbins, is not really participating. He's injured. Cody Epps is still working his way back from an injury. So there's, he's not really working full-time with all of his potential weapons. But, I mean, yeah, when you hear consistent, accurate, veteran leader, seems like he's been here 3 years, and we're talking about a guy that has been practicing in large part for about 2 months and a week since he got the Pro Bowl with this core. Yeah, those are good things. And he brought up a throw that Keaton Slovis had, I want to say, 3 or 4 days ago to Dom Henry, one of the upcoming receivers, where Zach Wilson was watching. And Aaron said, you know, I knew it was a good throw when I saw it with my own eyes and thought, wow, that was a nice play. But then Zach Wilson made his way over to me and was like, dude, did you see that throw? That was big time. And Aaron said he's been making those throws for the past few months. And so, like you guys, I just want to see him in a game scenario. We're all kind of, and I'm sure, Scott, you're feeling it because we thought Charlie Brewer was going to be that guy at Utah, right? Like, we've seen this before. We've heard all these things. Can Keaton Slovis deliver and, you know, handle the pressure of the Big 12 first year, being the BYU guy, and not have it kind of turn into a Charlie Brewer situation at Utah? I think that's kind of what we're all hoping to see.
One of the things I think, and I made this comment on our show before about Keaton, it's like if I was Aaron Roderick, I would just pick, what are you confident with? What do you just love? What plays are you – and tailor the offense, because he's a one-and-done, really, for BYU. So make it a you know, whatever – just tailor it around what he's confident, what he can run. Yeah, because I think Charlie Brewer, he wasn't a really good fit for what Utah was doing. And they
–
I don't know if they really did a lot to kind of tailor it to Charlie Brewer. But you just don't have years of, like – learning and developing, you know, when you have Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson, where they've been in the program for, you know, a couple of years, they've watched other people do it, they've had a lot of experience, they're going to know it better. And when it's just, you have 15 spring practices and however many more you have in the fall, it's just not quite enough to get to a competent level to know all of it. So just know what you can, and people won't figure it out. By the time they do, you'll be able to run more stuff that you've gotten more comfortable with.
Well, Spencer, I was going to ask you, though, too, like, who are the other guys? Like, it's a deep quarterback room full of a bunch of names that people are supposed to be excited about, but who are we really supposed to be excited about? Because BYU is only going to get 1 year out of Keaton Slovis. Who's developing behind, and who could really be that next, you know, maybe Jaren Hall or Zach Wilson, guys who stay in the program a little bit longer?
Springville kid.
Oh, come on.
Where's he?
He's right now, he's probably fifth string on the depth chart. I mean, but he's a true freshman. He's got a ways to grow. So that's a project for sure. But Jake Retzloff, who was the number one rated California JUCO quarterback, he turned some heads. Aaron Roderick is very excited to have him in the mix. People were wondering, oh, could he actually push, you know, Keaton Slovis for the job? No, and he's not healthy fully right now, so that's kind of limiting what he can do. I just feel like we're trying to get everybody healthy. At least Keaton Slovis is healthy, and the offensive line in large parts in good shape, so that's good. Defense, you know, the secondary and the defensive linemen are good. The linebackers are still working their way back, but, I mean, to answer your question, Alex, like, yeah, Retzloff is a nice prospect. He's got an absolute cannon of an arm. I think they're trying to get him familiar with the playbook and to help him have things slow down a little bit as he moves from JUCO into the Big 12. The advantage Keaton Slovis there has, obviously, is he's been in the Pac-12 at USC and in the ACC at Pitt. Like, he's not going to see a ton that is going to blow his mind. That's a certain positive. The thing you will notice about Keaton Slovis that Jaren Hall specifically did not do is Keaton really has a, like, his forte is those intermediate passes, and he sees the middle of the field very well, extremely accurate. He probably doesn't throw as deep or as accurate of a deep ball as Jaren Hall and doesn't attack the edges like Jaren Hall did with Puka Nacua and Keanu Hill and Chase Roberts, but he will open up the middle of the field. And so the guy that's probably the most excited at BYU is Isaac Rex, because I feel like he's the world has just been opened up for him again to attack the middle of the field with a guy who specializes in intermediate throws and can pick apart the middle of the field. Not to say Keaton can't hit outs and throw a deep ball, because we've seen him do it. He's got that capability, but that's probably where you'll see the most stark difference from him. The other quarterbacks, you know, Retzlaff, Cade Fennigan, frankly, if the season started today, Cade Fennigan would be the backup, and it wouldn't be close. He'd be the second string guy.
Interesting. Spence, before you get out here, we had Keanu Hill on the show. We've had last week we also had Isaac Rex talking about just, you know, anybody who's a receiver or a tight end, they come on, they go, what's Keaton Slovis like? And these guys really like what they see. They like what, you know, how quickly he's sort of acclimated into the program there. And so it's been really fun to watch and having these guys come in. But what about Jay Hill's defense? How are they balancing out, like, him? Is there a way to go too hard, I guess, in spring, especially when you've just rolled in?
Yeah, it's different. You know, and I thought I should ask Aaron Roderick about this, too. So I said, I know you're the offensive coordinator, but you got to compete against Jay Hill's defense every day. What's the biggest difference? Like, is it too much? And he said, the biggest difference is it's just, frankly, it's way more aggressive. And with the aggression will come, you know, a few more dust-ups and dudes yelling at each other. And Jay Hill's been joking with offensive players, specifically Keaton Slovis, like, hey, I know we're coming after you. I know it's annoying, but at some point, this will be good for you. Just it's going to be good for you. But aggression is the word that kind of sums up, you know, the whole mantra change for BYU's defense. I do give this warning, though. With the aggression, understandably, BYU's going to give up a few more big plays.
Yeah.
They're gonna give up some passes for touchdown over the top. Like, it's just the way that Jay Hill runs his defense, and that's what's gonna happen. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that per se. It's just different. Like, the aggressive nature will bring about some bigger plays given up, but hopefully it'll create some more havoc, because BYU, just in sack alone, you guys, last year, second to last in the country. Jeez. Which is awful. Awful. You got to change that. And then in takeaways, I think they were 101st out of 131 teams. BYU's got to be way better. And so, yeah, Jay Hill's going to come heavy after creating more havoc, create more takeaways, getting to the quarterback more, and some big plays given up. But, you know, they'll take the aggression and hopefully create some more turnovers and be a more opportunistic defense.
Spencer, putting on the KSL TV hat tonight, or I guess it's a tie in your business, putting on the KSL TV tie tonight, and you've got a Jazz game that you're going to cover with this with the Suns, and of course, very excited about the Final Four and how things are going to shake out. So we'll catch you on the old television tonight. If you are in the building while we are, you better come up here, man.
Hey, you got it, brother. I can't wait for the Jazz to win tonight and jump up like four spots in the West.
And just totally obliterate expectations. Everybody goes, oh, now the tank is in. We've said that about 50 times this year, so we're looking forward to it. Thanks, Spencer. We'll chat with you again, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Spencer Linton, KSL5 television tonight, BYU TV, former classmate of mine in the broadcast program at Brigham Young University. He's a pretty good one. I like Spencer a lot. Man, I love having him on. Let's take the break here. When we come back, let's jump into a little bit more. Lamar Jackson's trying to figure out what's going on with his life. He's now apparently requesting a trade. I would love that. Just be like, hey, man, just tweet out. Just tweet out to people. I'm looking to get out of this job. I'm looking to get out of this relationship. Hey, I saw your tweet earlier. Did you mean that, honey? Sure. Why not? Let's come back. More to go around the corner here. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. If you're up in Davis County and you dug out of the same snow that I did today, congrats. If you're Scott Mitchell and you started your day off in St. George this morning, also congrats. No snow rolling through that I-15 corridor through the middle of the state then? You got lucky? Dry roads?
No.
It was nice?
For the most part, yeah, but in Cedar City, it was a sheet of ice.
Boy, I got nervous when you just said sheet of ice there.
Whew. And there was a car actually off the road. But other than that, yeah, it was a good drive.
Back. Cars off the road. That was the theme this morning. Boy, up near Kaysville, Layton, Farmington. Massive mess up there. So, you know what else is a massive mess? I just can't get enough of this freaking Gwyneth Paltrow ski crash, ski gate, crash gate. Because now we're here, because last week it was her turn, right, to go, not only did I not crash into him, he crashed into me. In fact, I think he was trying to sexually assault me. That was a massive move on her part. That was like, you go on the stand and you roll that thing out, boy. Now he gets his chance on the stand, and I'm just, they got to make a made-for-TV movie out of this. You got to get something going, and it has to star Gwyneth Paltrow after the whole thing gets settled, okay?
Can she do that?
I don't know. Like, is it sealed or something? The story's about her. Could she sell her story to Lifetime?
Well, no, so that can I could you get play in your own story? That's
absolutely. Are you kidding?
Has anyone played in their own story?
I require it. I would need it. Who would play Gwyneth Paltrow? Right? She has to play it. It can't be. Well, now I'm starting to think people who could play Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow could play a young Martha Stewart. Like, so she could be Martha Stewart in Martha Stewart's thing, but not her own.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out, when this whole thing shakes out, is this guy going to get some money? I don't know. I don't know. You got to do something like have Renee Zellweger play Gwyneth Paltrow. That's how you got to do it. Have Renee Zellweger do it. Okay.
How can nobody have seen this?
No, they said ski patrol guys saw it. That was the thing, is the ski patrol
guys
said that he ran into her, apparently. So, done deal in my eyes, right? This thing can't go his way, right? Speaking of celebrities, I did see something sad this weekend. Sharon Stone started bawling up on stage at like an award ceremony. Did you see this? Because she's like, I lost so much money with the Silicon Valley Bank folding up. She lost half of her money with Silicon Valley Bank going under. And she chose to tell her all of her friends in Hollywood from the stage. So that is sad, man. Okay. Where are we at here? Oh, hey, by the way, we got stuff to give away. Can we give away stuff right now? DJ and PK today, as they do every week on a Monday, rolled out your Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend. They gave it out today. And if you're calling number 12, we want you to give it to us. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. 801-575-9663. And you tell us how to play, and you'll be the winner. Or tell us what that play of the weekend was, and you'll be the winner. You'll get a nice little prize. So there you go. With an impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs, no wonder people are switching to Chevy. Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. Jeremy, any hints? I mean, I have ideas, but no. Come on, man. Tell me
hoops,
what's going on.
I'll go hoops related.
Oh, hoops related. There you go.
That's all the only sports going on. So,
yeah. So professional or college, you'll have to figure it out yourself. So there you go.
High school. No, kidding.
It's high school basketball.
There's the XFL.
There was the women's golf. Basketball tournament.
That's still basketball.
Hold on now. Was it Caitlin Clark getting a triple double?
Can't tell you.
Okay.
I know what I'd have it as. Can I say what I'd have it as, or does that?
He doesn't know what it is. So can Scott win because he doesn't know? No, you can't. KSL employee.
So
what's your guess?
My guess is Walker Kessler scoring 31 points.
That was the dumbest guess I've ever heard.
Who is that again?
It's got to be Final Four related. Get out of here. A bunch of teams nobody's ever heard of going to the Final Four. Come on, man.
Walker Kessler scoring 31 points is not a big deal.
It's a big deal, but it's over the weekend. There's not one like singular, like, but they lost a freaking game. They're not going to be like, Walker Kessler, wow.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe.
Absolutely, wow.
No, it was awesome, but it's not the play of the weekend. Come on. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Jeremy won't say.
I know. He's stone faced over there. I'm trying to fish. I'm just trying to help some of our listeners out. Okay.
Well, you should just listen to the show, then.
Oh, to DJ and PK.
Yeah.
I was out shoveling 2 feet of snow today, brother. Come on, man. I can't figure that out. All right. I do want to roll this out. So Lamar Jackson, we've known, has been doing his own negotiating. He tweeted out today, which if you're representing yourself, I guess Twitter is as good as any other place, Scott. But he rolled out that apparently he's requesting a trade. So what do you do if you're the Baltimore Ravens with the curious case of Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think it's what do you do with it?
Yeah, what do you do with this? Do you just go, fine, he said it? When a player requests a trade, the team is in, then everybody's at odds, right? Everybody's looking around at each other. It's a standoff of epic proportions.
So there was a...
They're waiting for each other to flinch. What's going
Richard
on here?
Sherman over the weekend, someone else was on with him. Was it Calvin Johnson, former...
Megatron.
Mm-hmm. And Richard Sherman says, you know, it's wrong that everyone is all over. Like, Lamar Jackson should ask for all the guarantees, and he should get them, because that's what the established quarterback market is now. You know, that $90 million or more guaranteed money. And he said, you know, the guys who kind of like chickened out of it were Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
What do you mean chickened out of it?
Well, they didn't take all that they could get. Mm. So Richard Sherman was saying to Lamar Jackson, man, you got to take all you can get. Like, you got to get all of it. And I don't agree with that. Because you look at Tom Brady, and Tom Brady took less. And he took less to be around for a long time. Because typically quarterbacks, if you're any good, you're going to stick with a team. Like, teams don't get rid of quarterbacks. Bill Belichick will get rid of a lot of things, but he ain't get rid of a good quarterback. Like, he'll get rid of a tight end or a running back, mm-hmm, or a wide receiver. He'll do that in 2 seconds. A defensive back, they're gone. And quarterbacks stick around. So you make that money up, you know, down the road. Now, if you're and really, like, how much is enough? Being guaranteed $100 million, that's not enough money.
You know what's wild is, think about how wild this is, that the Deshaun Watson deal that was done in Cleveland may have sunk Lamar Jackson in his career.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because then he thinks to himself, well, Deshaun Watson isn't better than me, and he might have a case for that because nobody's seen it. Right. Like, but what's going on here is that Cleveland was dumb enough to throw that much money at a guy who was coming off of the situation he's coming off of. And what was the guaranteed money too? It was 200 and was it
230 million?
230? 230 million guaranteed dollars. And so then Lamar Jackson goes, that's the market.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have an agent to negotiate for him. In Baltimore, that's not the market. The rest of the league is fighting against this being the market going forward. Yeah. So now everybody is it's this weird pissing match between the league and these players who want this amount of guaranteed money, the teams, the franchises who are going, no, man, we don't want to start setting this precedent that we start having to give all this guaranteed money to these. They're already giving insane amounts of guaranteed money, and $100 million of guaranteed money for a quarterback isn't enough right now. It's not enough for guys who think that they're at the top of the echelon of the league.
Guaranteed money in the NFL today is a result of ice shaking out of a cup.
I'm sorry.
Someone rolling. Listen, playing Nazi, I've been coughing over there, Alex.
I've been coughing all show.
So actually, why quarterbacks are getting guaranteed money is because the game's gone soft. Like, quarterbacks are playing forever. They're not getting hit. They're not getting hurt. They're not under any risk of injury. That's why they call these insane roughing the quarterback penalties that aren't penalties, because they go, we got these guys are guaranteed. We cannot have them injured. We cannot have them off the field. It's bad for business. And that's what's bad for Lamar Jackson, is he's been injured. You know, if Lamar Jackson's out there playing his tail off, then he has a lot. He has a better case. I think being injured actually hurts him, and I think it's. I think it hurt him in his ability to negotiate, and I think it's the recency. Unfortunately, it's the recency bias of the NFL. What have you done for me lately? And I mean, like, super lately. I don't care that you've won an MVP trophy.
We obviously don't care much about that because, like, look at Cam Newton.
No.
I mean, at some point, you get far enough removed from it and people go, yeah, but.
Have you won in the playoffs? Have we gone on deep runs into the playoffs? Can you take us to and can you win a Super Bowl for us? That's the expectation. Now, whether it's real or not, who knows? But, I just think Lamar Jackson, if he's smart, will not maybe take as much money right now, and maybe he takes a shorter deal. And getting franchised is the worst thing in the world. It's not a good thing because it's a short term thing. And he needs to meet him somewhere in the middle. Because $100 million guaranteed, come on. That's isn't that enough?
And I don't know.
And you're gonna play out more than $100 million.
But see, you've lived in both sides of these worlds where you're like, we're talking about this, going, dude, how is $100 million not enough? But you also have been in a place where you've negotiated for the very, very most that you can, knowing what the market sort of bears, right?
Yeah.
And so when a guy goes, I should be getting $200 million guaranteed, not 100. Like, if you look at it and you go, you're shorting me $100 million of guaranteed money, and I shouldn't be shorted that money.
Cleveland admitted they don't know what they're doing. Okay? that it's like, what do you take out the high and the low, and then you average everything else in between? There's the idiot, and that's Cleveland, and then there's the other folks that are on the cheap scale. That's probably like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay,
so just all the teams in Ohio, just get rid of them.
But it's also the Ravens. They're kind of on that. They're kind of notoriously cheap.
I don't know that they've paid players before.
Second lowest paid offense in the league.
They've paid defensive players before. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the situation.
Like lowest paid wide receiver group in the league. Second lowest paid offense in the league.
Right.
But what I'm saying is they have a model. They go, look, we'll get the most out of what we can. We don't feel like we need to spend, right up against the cap to be able to be competitive.
A lot of teams, the Steelers are like that. You know, the Patriots are like that. And they're teams that have been successful.
All right. Let's take a break.
I'm not convinced that Lamar Jackson's the long-term guy. I'm not.
Well, I think because
I think if the Ravens were, they'd bend over backwards to get this.
If he would have renegotiated 2 years ago,
he would have fired his agent.
And if he would have had an agent, it would have worked out. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk a little bit about Big 12 expansion. The teams that are being thrown out there, the teams that are being thrown around. It's pretty hilarious. And if you're Brett Yormark, just take a shot at everybody, I guess. Stay with us, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Who do you want to have in your perfectly drawn up conference, Scott? Your dream Pac-12 conference. And is San Diego State now become part of that conversation? Is getting Gonzaga to the Big 12 as a basketball member only, does that get you going if you're a Big 12 fan? First of all, I hate conference fans. Like, that was never – when I was growing up, you tell me if this is more of a – like, conference rooting was not really a thing. Like, people who are in your conference go to the Rose Bowl, and it's not your team, you hate that freaking team. And like, when USC – obviously, it's different. But, like, let's go back that 2 years to when
USC wasn't close to getting an invite to the Big Ten and shocking everybody. But when UCLA, quote unquote, did well in the Pac-12 or in the in the conference tournament after you get eliminated, and then they go on and they go to the Sweet 16, do you have some Pac-12 pride? I'm not falling for the Big 12 pride thing, Scott. I'm not going to have pride in the West Virginia Mountaineers. So sue me. I'm not going to be a big fan of Oklahoma State when they're in a tournament and you go, well, they're representing our conference. I'm not into that. Am I insane?
Yes.
I'm not. You're a conference rooter.
Yeah.
I don't freaking care. Yes. I would never put a sticker on my car. Never be a Big 12 or Pac 12 honk. I'm just like, that is such a weird thing to me to root for your conference.
Why is it a weird thing to root for your conference, especially when your conference
actually. You're all sharing money?
Yeah. We're all in this together until USC and UCLA leave. Then it's every team for themselves. What do you mean, no? Yeah, it's cool to be a part of a conference, as long as the conference is a good one.
I love that Cal's doing well.
I will just tell you right now, folks in the SEC, they love their conference. The folks in the ACC, they don't. They go, whoever is running this thing, they're stupid. Like, they tied us up forever. The Big Ten, you don't think people – this is Big Ten territory.
I know we have this in our
– Do you not think that sign at the point of the mountain means something? There's a line right there. This is Pac-12, Pac-10 country. This is Big 12.
Hey, are they going
to – Trying to be the Big 14 country.
Are they going to change their name, by the way? If this, because
the
all
Pac-12?
Yeah. Because all we're hearing is about how much solidarity there is among those 10. We 10 are going to stick together. They're being very hardcore about that. And when I was a kid growing up, I was rooting for the Pac-10.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, there was a day when it was the Pac-8.
Now, here's the only time that I care. If it is a Pac-12 team, like when teams from the Pac-12 were playing Big Ten teams in the Rose Bowl, if they were playing Michigan, I hated Michigan. So I was like, good. I hope Michigan loses.
There you go. You're a conference Pac-10 cheer.
Pac-10 honk.
You're a conference cheer.
Get me a sticker for my truck then. Now that is a new developed situation.
What's wrong with the sticker on your truck? People collect these kinds of things. How is it different than having a Ragnar sticker on your truck?
I'll
bet you have a ski. What is it?
I don't put one sticker
on
my car.
Snow Basin.
I have an anti bumper sticker thing that my dad was always like, yeah, if you want to look trashy, go ahead and put a bumper sticker on your car. So like, I've never put a bumper sticker on a car. Well, the only sticker I have in my car right now. Is we have one that lets you go in the HOV lane with an electric car. That's the only thing.
But if you had a family sticker.
Never would do it.
But you couldn't do
mine
it.
Mine have to wrap around the car.
You'd have to do a car wrap instead of a bumper sticker.
Mine would keep going.
For all the Kiri clan.
I'm not kidding.
Lots of Kiris.
So all I'm saying is that I hate this idea when they go, okay, you're going to root for the Pac-12. You're going to root for the Big 12. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put a bumper sticker on there. I'm not going to root for.
I am.
I'm not going to root for Texas Tech when they're in the cross country championships or something. I don't care.
Look, you are missing something that's really exciting.
Camaraderie.
No. This is Power Five football country here in the state of Utah now. And you got two Power Five conferences, and guess what? If you are, it makes the rivalry between Utah and BYU so much better, because this is big boy football, this is big boy conference, this is big boy basketball, this is big boy this is big boy sports, across the board. And now you have an opportunity, and it is a conference affiliation, and you better, if you're a BYU fan, love your conference, and if you're a Utah fan, you better love your conference, because. Because it's being made out to whose conference is better now. And that's going to be the rivalry. And people are going to cling to that and hold to that, and it's going to matter to them. So yeah, I think it matters to have your conference affiliation and to love your conference.
All right.
Like you'd love yourself.
You're gonna go that hard on it, huh? We've been told we need to love our conference, our fellow conference members. Get out of here with that. Don't try to pull this like I've got some hate in my heart.
I do, though.
And then you got to love those that despitefully use you.
All right. Scott has rolled out enough religious references for the hour. We'll come back. We have more to go around the corner. Mitch Harper's going to join us. 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Accessing.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. So.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. I hope your kid's school wasn't canceled randomly today like mine was, so there you go. Canceled school, it's a great thing for the kids, awful for parents. So we hope you're getting through it and you figured it out today. What an insane storm up north. Everybody else doesn't care. Didn't get the snow we did. So there you go. We've got tons to talk about here still, Scott. We got to get into our cut here at the top of the hour. I've been running victory laps around the studio. Although it's a hollow victory, Scott, because really nobody was very good on their brackets across the country. Not just here.
Well, what happened to the Big 12 being like this, like amazing basketball conference?
Scott, because we just talked about this, I need to defend the conference that BYU is a part of now.
Well, no, they're not officially in the conference.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with this.
Are you kidding? Have you been to Provo yet?
BYU's like, wait till we get in the conference, man. It's going to be a different deal when we get there.
You can't go 20 feet without seeing an XII in royal blue across the entire freaking city of Provo. I'm surprised they didn't change. What's Cougar Boulevard? What did it used to be? Bulldog? Now it's Cougar Boulevard. They're going to change it straight up to XII Boulevard. That's how in love they are with the Big 12 right now. Joining us right now, he covers the Big 12, soon-to-be Big 12 members, BYU, for KSLSports.com. He is Mitch Harper. Mitch, are people supposed to cheer for the conference?
I think BYU fans probably shouldn't, because they gave Utah fans so much grief because of the Pac-12 stuff a decade ago. But, hey, I think that, I think almost conference pride takes on a greater meaning now, because, you know, the PAC and the Big 12, they're all fighting to be the third best league in college sports. So maybe there's a little more incentive to cheer for the conference. It beats cheering for Pacific on a random Thursday night in January. So there you go.
Speaking of Big 12 conference, some discussion about San Diego State, maybe Fresno State, getting an invitation to the Big 12. Does that make sense? Is there any truth to that?
I think San Diego State makes a lot of sense. Fresno State, I can't really wrap my mind around that one. And it's not necessarily just from the, you know, athletic programs. I mean, there's been moments of success with Fresno State football over the last, you know, 30-something years, even back to the Sweeney days in the early 90s. I mean, Fresno State football has been pretty good, and basketball had Tarkanian for a hot minute, but I can't picture that one. That's totally just simply going into the fourth time zone and not much potential and upside. It's just a team that's taking on, taking the money, not adding to it. Whereas I think San Diego State legitimately could add value. I think that fan base is pretty small, but they've got a vested interest, a strong interest in basketball. And over the last 25 years, they've elevated themselves a ton in hoops. And Fisher and Dutcher have just taken that thing to heights that no one ever could have imagined when they were in the old Peterson Gymnasium with like 2,000 people. And now they're a legit power out west. I think they make a ton of sense. So it's almost like, you know, if you're the Big 12 and you can take out, Southern California again from the Pac-12, that might be some incentive there. I can't picture that with Fresno State, though.
Mitch, one of the things that, we've been kind of – it's funny because it's a Big 12. They're going to want San Diego State. Well, so is the Pac-12. They're going to want San Diego State as well, as soon as, you know, the Final Four stuff kind of shakes out. But what's the reality? And you said you didn't like it on Friday, But what's the reality of Gonzaga being extended an invitation, basketball only invitation to the conference? Because, you know, I saw reports as soon as the tournament's over, the Zags are going to shake hands with Brett Yormark and make this thing official. But what's the reality of that, and why don't you like it?
I think it comes down to, you know, Brett Yormark's got a strong background in basketball, and I think it comes down to, honestly, Mark Few's decision. What does Mark Few want for Gonzaga Athletics? And if they make Gonzaga a full athlete with all their teams, I think Gonzaga would take that. I just think that that's, you know, with Gonzaga, I just don't know what they will become after Mark Few. And also their teams, their athletic department as a whole, it's solid. It's pretty good. I mean, their baseball and everything, but I just don't think they – I just can't comprehend how much more value they add unless Brett Yormark has some grand plan with basketball being a separate media rights deal after 2031 that we don't realize. I just don't see how that makes much sense because football, you know, people forecasted, you know, 80% drives these media deals and the rest of it's about 20%. I just don't know how much more Gonzaga can really add. And then you got to go, it's a difficult place, part of the country that's Pacific Northwest. It's in Spokane near that Idaho border. I mean, it's just inconvenient from a travel perspective. It'll be a tough road trip and they're already a good team. I think that if there's some grand plan with basketball being a separate deal with media rights, then it makes sense. But I just still feel like football drives the realignment bus, and I think you keep kind of waiting a little bit if you keep poking at the Pac-12 teams, but then you also kind of maybe see what happens with the ACC. I think the current 12 members in the Big 12 is pretty solid footing to where you can make a legit claim that's the third best conference in college athletics behind the SEC and the Big 10. So I don't think it's a pressing need to have to just expand unless Yormark's got some tricks up his sleeve that none of us realize.
So With the Final Four shaking out as it did, the Big 12 recognized as, you know, a pretty significant player in college basketball. Is this something that should be a concern, or is this some kind of just an aberration?
I think it's still a good tournament for the Big 12. They dished out $32 million in NCAA tournament units. So that's $3.2 million per team. For the 10 teams that are in the Big 12, that's good money. I mean, that's a success having seven teams. And if you get to a point where this is now a 92 team tournament, which many believe it could eventually get to in the next couple years, you're probably talking about all 10 of these teams in the Big 10 or Big 12 this year being, you know, NCAA tournament teams, and that pot only enhances. So to get two teams, the Elite Eight, that's solid. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the Big 12 really, from a branding perspective, to have that piece to say, you know, every single tournament since 2017, they've had at least one team in the Final Four, and they've had back-to-back national champions. It's just kind of a nice selling point because you think about the SEC in football. From 2007 to 2014 when Ohio State won it in the playoff, or 2013 with Florida State, excuse me, in the last BCS, they were the the king of college football. They were winning it every single year. And that's really when the brand of SEC football kind of went into overdrive, where if you want to play at a national championship level, you got to go to the SEC. And we've seen the ripple effect since, how they've continued to have a stranglehold on the sport. So I think from that perspective, it hurts, but I think they'll be back in short order. I don't think Kansas State's going away anytime soon. That Baylor has a bounce back. So, and Kansas isn't going to be dying anytime soon. So They'll be in good hands going forward.
Saturday was a closed scrimmage. Like, do you try to climb up a pole or something at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, or how do you find out what even happens at a closed scrimmage? I mean, and when
they
you
have
ask the
a
coaches,
hole in the wooden fence, when you look through the hole in the wooden fence,
or when you
fence.
Go, hey coach, how did the scrimmage go? Oh, we made a lot of progress. What do you find out about a closed scrimmage, and what have we heard about the closed scrimmage from Saturday?
I heard that Keaton Slovis made a highlight-worthy play to Dom Henry over the middle. That was a deep pass that went for a touchdown, and only continues to highlight that Slovis continues to have a really good spring along with Dom Henry, a preferred walk-on wide receiver who probably as of today is BYU's fourth best wide receiver. He was the all, you know, he was all world really in the state of Florida, led the state of Florida in receiving yards in 2021, and BYU got him as a preferred walk-on, a really nice get, just kind of an undersized guy. Defense, though, overall, kind of won the scrimmage, and I think that the trends and the buzzwords we're hearing about aggressive play from the defense continues to manifest itself with this defensive line being a group that wants to get to the quarterback, and they're not just plugging gaps, and they're sitting back and letting quarterbacks just operate with ease. They're trying to create some havoc as much as they can without hitting Slovis or any of these quarterbacks. Jay Hill's dialing up some heat, and that's kind of been a theme throughout spring with BYU's defense, and I really believe that's going to carry over into the fall. And I think that we're seeing examples of that in the media observation windows, too, about how aggressive they'll be. And from what the intel that I've gotten from Saturday's scrimmage, that was the case as well.
Going back to this conference and the Big 12 wanting to be the third highest conference in the pecking order here, when Texas and Oklahoma leave, what's the marquee program? Who replaces Texas and Oklahoma as the big schools in the Big 12?
Well, I think from a power and behind the scenes with the board of directors and the ADs, it's probably Baylor. They have the most influential voice probably in the Big 12. Their AD, Mac Rhodes, is probably the voice among ADs that everyone in the Big 12 turns to, and their school president is, you know, near the top of the board of directors in the Big 12. They seem to have a really prominent presence in this league, and they're in it for the long haul. They're one of the original members back in 1996, and they're investing a ton of money into athletics. They've secured Mac Rhodes, their AD, for a long contract extension. Same with the president. They've got a new basketball facility. I think Baylor, they've had national championship success. They've won Big 12 championships in football. They're probably the one I look to. And then I would say Kansas State, Oklahoma State, probably next in line. Those would probably be the upper crust, I think, of this conference. And I think of the newcomers, BYU's got a lot of potential to be in that upper tier as far as athletic departments, brands, in this Big 12 because of the fan base that BYU brings. But I think that there's still so many things about BYU's athletics going into the Big 12 where I feel like they're falling behind already. I mean, I look at around the Big 12, and all of these places are investing at a high level into facilities. Where's BYU's announcement? I'm hearing crickets, and they got to step it up. I mean, because you can't have indoor practice facilities with intramurals, then pushing out Keaton Slovis, who wants to get extra work in for a practice, and intramural soccer's pushing him out. You can't have that in the Big 12. You just can't. And you got to make sure to continue to level up those facilities. I think BYU needs a football operations hub, like a football ops building, to kind of center the football program more than just simply the student-athlete building. They need to find team-specific facilities focused on football because they're the one that's ultimately going to deliver that $31.5 million in media rights. They're the one that ultimately signs the check. You got to take care of them. And I'm curious to see what BYU does with their football facilities going forward. I think the stadium, Lavelle Edwards Stadium, needs some upgrades as well, maybe from the amenities side and the hospitality department. I just think that there's got to be a real push because we're seeing from Brett Yormark, he's into high-end VIP-style experiences. BYU's never done that. Are they willing to play that game because everyone in the Big 12 is showing signs they want to do that? And if BYU does, there's a real opportunity for them to really climb into that upper echelon of athletic departments and schools because of all the advantages they have with such a loyal fan base that BYU could get in that upper tier as well.
Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, joining us here on Unrivaled. And we're Mitch, I wonder too, when you see how difficult the Big 12 is on the basketball side of things, and you know, wild Final Four notwithstanding, you know, this conference is tough. It's going to continue to get tough. What is like a realistic plan for Mark Pope on the basketball side of things to turn things around? Because I look at it, and I know, you know, football is always going to be the crown jewel of these programs, you know, to kind of roll it out. But this is a basketball conference, probably more than it is a football conference at the moment. So what's a plan that will work for BYU and Mark Pope? Because this is a guy who we have been extremely excited about. I'm not waning on how well of a or how good of a job he could do or how well he can coach a team, but I do wonder how the BYU model works for the basketball side of things and going into the Big 12.
I think that, you know, Mark Pope has got to find he's got to find some size in the front court, which easier said than done. I mean, that's going to be difficult, but I think Mark Pope, being a guy that played in the NBA and is a big man himself, that can maybe help the cause, I would think. But they also need to get guys that can shoot the three. I mean, BYU, since 2001, in all their seasons where they had NCAA tournament appearances, they were a top 50 team shooting a three. BYU has just continued to slide. They've been on trending backwards in terms of shooting the three, where this year they were in the 280 range of shooting the three. They're just not going to be good enough, especially when you know BYU will have some disadvantages. They're not going to be this one-and-done operation. They're probably not going to always get the blue-chip transfer portal guys, but you can overcome some of that a little bit by being able to knock down the three. And I think that, you know, Mark Pope's got to get a little bit creative with maybe some of his scheme and identity. He came into last year with this idea of being an up-tempo team. He wanted to be the fastest team in America, and they were nowhere near that. I mean, they still were kind of like in the top 40, but there were games where they was a slow down operation, and it just didn't feel anywhere close to the vision that he had coming into the year. So they got to stick with that identity and roll with it. And I think you've got the luxury next year where people are going to expect some L's, dig into your identity, find players that will operate that identity and execute it. And I think too that, you know, it'll probably help BYU. I think one of the things that people often overlook in the Big 12 for BYU going forward is their atmosphere and the travel that will be involved with teams having to go to Provo. That would be a tough road trip. I mean, West Virginia, you look at home advantages in the Big 12 this past year, West Virginia was considered the toughest venue in terms of home advantage to go to Morgantown, probably because of the extensive travel that you have to make. I'm sure there will be some nights in the Big 12 where a team just got done with a grinder of a game on a Saturday, and then they got to make a quick trip to Provo on a Tuesday. It might be kind of like the NBA where it creates an opportunity because of travel and logistics where BYU could maybe get a surprising win because the team's maybe tired or whatnot. I mean, that you can't bank on that, but I think there will be some opportunities for wins. And you saw it in this Elite Eight too. Some of the teams that were there, you know, Creighton, San Diego State, BYU took down Creighton. They went, you know, they were at the under four media timeout with a lead at San Diego State. They nearly beat Gonzaga twice. I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda, sure, but they were competitive. And I think that people have been down and out on Mark Pope because they look at logos on the West Coast Conference jerseys and say, how do you lose to Pepperdine? Well, any league that you're in, it's always going to be the toughest league. That's what Dave Rose used to always say. Well, now they're in the Big 12. I think that's going to help them level up their play. They got to get some better talent. There's no question about it. And right now they got two scholarships available. But I don't think that the road is as daunting as people think. I mean, Big 12 is going to be frightening for BYU. It's Mount Everest. I get all that, but who's to say they can't go, you know, 6-12 in league, and then they go into a conference tournament and they're, you know, trying to work their way into maybe, you know, being an at-large team. That's what you can do in the Big 12 with how many opportunities and quad one games you have. That's a nice luxury you have. And if you schedule smart in the non-conference where, you know, they're going to likely continue the series with Utah, San Diego State's going to be on the schedule next year. I'm curious to see what they do with Gonzaga and Utah State and teams like that. But, you can maybe cook in a lot of wins because you're now a Big 12 team, and then, you know, see what happens. I mean, because they got a great home court advantage at the Marriott Center. I just think that Mark Pope's just got to hit it out of the park with the portal, and this team could surprise some folks next year.
How does recruiting change just in general? Like, do they recruit the same number of LDS athletes? Do they stay heavy on the mission program and kind of how that goes? Because you are going to have access to a different level of talent, right? That's what happened at Utah. And so
So they had to make adjustments on maybe where they recruited, who they recruited, how many players from, you know, maybe locally here in the state of Utah, maybe that number dropped. How do you see recruiting changing at BYU with the move to a Power 5 conference?
I think for football, you're going to see the percentage of recruiting classes being immediate sign and send guys. In some years, it's been like around 80% where the class just immediately goes on a mission. That number is going to decrease because I think it's going to be more around 45%. It's got to be more 50-50 where you have sign and sends plus guys that are going to be immediately enrolling in the spring or fall season, whenever it may be. I think so. There's going to be more balance in that regard. This weekend, you're going to see a good glimpse of how football's recruiting profile has been elevated. BYU's going to have a spring game on Friday, and there's going to be some high-profile recruits in attendance. A defensive back today announced that he's going to be in attendance. A high-end three-star kid who's got offers from a lot of Pac-12 schools, got some Big Ten interest. He's in the heart of Los Angeles as a cornerback. And, he's going to visit BYU. I don't know if he would be a guy that's taking this early of a visit to BYU if they weren't in the Big 12. They wouldn't have Keaton Slovis if they weren't in the Big 12. You're already seeing the impact of getting just a higher caliber of athlete. And then you pair it up, too, with the fact that Jay Hill is really doing a great job in recruiting. The recruiting efforts from BYU football cannot be it's been a night and day difference. How they are on attack, they are, after the spring football season's over, it's going to be spring evaluation period, and expect these guys to be traveling coast to coast. I mean, they're going to be everywhere, this staff, to identify talent. And I think that they're going to have more of a 50-50 profile in terms of sign and send LDS kids, missionary guys, and then the others are coming in to make an impact. Because if they continue on what they were doing, where it's just the whole class basically goes on a mission and then they gray shirt, you're waiting 3 years. And you don't have that luxury in Power 5 football to just wait 3 years for guys to come in and matriculate in. The speed, the clock just is moving so fast in college sports. There's not that much time to wait. And, Kalani Sitake, he's locked in with the contract extension, but still, if this thing went completely south, who's to say, same for Mark Pope too, who's to say they don't go immediately on the hot seat if it's just BYU is not competitive? So you have to come in and make an impression early, and recruiting can help that cause for sure. So I think that it's just going to deepen the pool of potential prospects that BYU has by being in the Big 12 Conference.
Mitch Harper, he is our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. Mitch, man, you always do such a fantastic job. KSLSports.com is where you can find his byline. If you don't follow Mitch on Twitter, then you're not getting all of the BYU information that you need. So, Mitch Harper, thanks for hanging out with us. Mitch, we'll chat with you again, man.
You bet, guys. Take care.
There you go. Mitch Harper, everybody. I'm fascinated by the idea of, how BYU can adjust. I think football actually, interestingly enough, kind of adjusts more quickly, right? Than I don't know. Maybe football is football built differently than basketball? I'm talking about for hanging with the Big 12. And in Mark Pope's case, in BYU's basketball program, I think because it's kind of in a personality, middle ground right now. It kind of doesn't know its identity yet. And then going into the hardest conference for basketball right now, with that, in mind, it's kind of a wild thing to think, right? That's how they do it.
I think where things change or where you get them to change is if a player sees a path to get to the NFL or NBA or go beyond school. I mean, that's where I think you're going to get a higher caliber athlete. If they can see that path, and you've seen it at Utah with Clark Phillips and Jalen Johnson and some of those places, and with the safety position and, so even some of the defense and offensive linemen, if there's a path, Devin Lloyd is a new example. If there's a path, then you're going to get that quality athlete.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. By the way, top of the hour, you're going to get Jazz pregame right here on the Jazz Radio Network. So much more going on, so here's the deal. We need you to stay tuned. We've got NFL Roundup next. We've got our two-minute drill. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Louisville.
And the other guy. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is your Monday. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, did I still win the bracket?
You very handily won the bracket.
How do I do? What do I collect?
124 points.
Where do I collect my winnings or whatever?
You get an attaboy.
What's funny is I told
you. I was fifth.
You were fifth, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't last, and that's all I care about.
Well,
at this point, let's say that I moved up. I moved up 8 points from the first round. So, so that's how many points I. Fell off a cliff.
That's what you get for.
That's what I get for not picking San Diego State.
Just picking Arizona, yeah.
and
a problem.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Well, no, everything else was just perfectly lined up.
Think about how wild that is.
And then it just fell apart.
Think about how wild that is. This is the craziest Final Four I've ever seen.
Insane.
And somebody even like chalked it up. I know we talked about this earlier, but somebody even said this is the kind of Final Four you get when you're playing a video game and you do like a, and you simulate it and you go. And the computer somehow just goes, we'll throw some of these teams in. That's what we got.
But
we got
you said something at the very beginning of this. You go, I don't know why, but I picked a lot of upsets. And you were saying that in the first round. You're like, I picked a lot of upsets. I picked a lot of upsets.
And you know what happens is.
You were right.
Well, but I was not right about any of these. And here's the other thing. Historically, you get upsets and maybe in the first and second rounds. And then everything kind of evens out. Yeah. You get your ones and twos and your threes in the final, in the final four.
Yep.
We don't have a one, a two, or a three anywhere to be found in this final four.
Insane.
And I don't know what to think because then there's that little part of you, too. All these teams earned it, but I don't feel like that they deserve it. The criticism that's happened this week has been really funny because some people go, well, this is a stupid tournament.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for. You want this format. We want the same format for football. Now, imagine in 15 years or 25 years when they have the college football playoff and it's at 16 teams or whatever at that point, and we get a semifinal like this. Are we going to be excited about it, or are we going to go, well, shoot, where are the big schools? This is a bunch of G5 teams rolling up here.
Maybe San Diego State has a case for joining the Pac-12 now.
Hey, they always say they're a basketball school more than they are a football school. All right. This is Scott. This isn't college basketball. This is the NFL Roundup here.
Yeah.
This is your bread and butter here. I do want to bring up Robert Saleh talking about Zach Wilson being a fixture in in New York. I was confused about it because I thought, what second string quarterback is a fixture anywhere? And here was the actual quote, so we can take a listen here to what Robert Saleh said and see just exactly how this thing rolled out. But this is what he said about Zach Wilson's future in New York.
Number two, as of now, for sure. And we're really excited to work with him. I want to make sure I rephrase that when I said as of now. I know that's going to be the headline. But he's our.
You're quick. I know.
Just tweeted out yourself.
He's our number two. You know, I really still think Zach has a future in this league to be a really good quarterback. I really do, and he has the work ethic, he has the mindset, and he's coming in here to attack it. And but yeah, we're counting on him to be a fixture here for a while.
So
only interesting thing about that, as of now, he's the number two. Who's number one?
I mean, I'm assuming they're.
Who's number one?
He's just the number two.
He's the number two guy as of now.
But, like, we love him.
No, Mike White's gone. He's the only quarterback they have.
Yeah.
And he realized what he said, and he realized, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. So you know Aaron Rodgers is going.
Right.
But here's the kiss of death. This is like, you know, he's just a real sweet spirit, all this. When you go, oh, he's got a really good work ethic, Nobody in the NFL doesn't have a good work ethic. No, everybody does.
No, there, what was you, his name? Jamarcus Russell didn't have a good work ethic, right, and he never made it.
He didn't make it. He never ended up.
Yeah. He was never in the league.
No. Oh, and he's going to attack it.
What I love about this, though, now I know this is radio, but I just want you to picture in your mind's eye, if you've ever watched any of those like FBI like body language, you know,
yeah,
the guys
they have experts,
the human lie
people.
Detectors.
Sure.
So yeah. So Robert Saleh, I mean, he's putting his hands on his face. They're always like, okay, left hand touches to the face. That's right. The thing, right? He's scratching his nose. He's rubbing his eyes. Like there's all sorts of. Oh, we really think you know, the old scratch of the side of the mouth. We really think, he's the guy.
Let me tell him this story.
I don't know. I think that there's a part. I don't think he's a liar, and I don't think he's stupid either. I think he really is hopeful because this is a guy that he has leaned into. And I don't think he nor their GM want to give up on a guy like Zach Wilson, and they probably shouldn't. I don't know what's going on in the offseason. I don't know. Zach Wilson does have a tremendous amount of talent.
How do you have a coach? This is a new coach, right? And he's New York, so he's got to get it right. Like, they had to hit a home run with Zach Wilson.
Yes.
They didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they hit a single.
Well, we don't know yet.
And when they say –
well, it's a double because he's number two.
Right. When they say he's the guy for the future and he's going to be here a long time, he's going to be a fixture in New York, that's scratching your face with your left hand.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just because they can't make a choice on Zach Wilson. There's no way to make a determination if he's your back. Now there is one way. Zach Wilson will have to take a massive haircut on his next contract.
Yeah,
everyone talks about that second contract. He's gonna have to take an absolute bath on that if he wants to stay in New York and really work it out, because they're not gonna sign him to anything relevant.
Right.
And you got to feel crappy if you're the New York Jets and going, we're going to get a 40-year-old quarterback and put our hopes on him for any kind of stability. And like when you're Bruce Arians and you're in Tampa Bay, you go, I'm swinging for Tom Brady because guess what? I'm retiring in 2 years.
Right, I'm going to be
done. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Robert Saleh is like, I got a long career. And I'm going to – and what happens in 2 years after – like all said, the,
well, he even
all of a
that
sudden
up.
Magically like Zach Wilson's the guy again?
Yeah, they brought that up. It was like, hey – With Aaron Rodgers, we're going to go 2 years and then see what we got.
Yeah,
I mean they're planning for a run in the next two seasons, and if it doesn't happen, then what? Then you just go, well, we think we've developed Zach Wilson enough. I mean, you really hope so, I guess.
But what's his contract going to look like? Because he's going to be up in 2 years. Now they do have that fifth year that they could opt for that fifth rookie year with him. But Zach Wilson has put himself in a very precarious position. As far as the next contract,
so I was
not
gonna,
good.
I was going to ask you about John Lynch and what he said about, speaking of quarterbacks, Brock Purdy there in San Francisco. Here's the quote: I think Brock Purdy has probably earned that right to be the guy.
Yeah,
I think so. If he were to line up, he'd probably take that first snap. That was John Lynch talking about their quarterback situation right now. And so, I contrasted that with Cam Newton's workout that he had last week at Auburn for their pro day when he was throwing. Right. And he said, and he goes, are you telling me that there are these 64 MFers who are in front of me, that are randoms is what he called them.
Yeah.
64 randoms are better than me. And it was like, dude, I know that that's like a great attitude to have. Like I've still got it. But like, it is crazy to think that he can't find a place, but
it's
that's
not
how,
crazy. It's
that's
not
how
crazy.
Insane the NFL is,
it's
though,
not
right?
Like,
that's
how hard it is. It's not even insane. No, it's not. It's not the fact that it's hard. It's not the fact that it's insane. It's not the fact that all these guys are random dudes. It's the fact that, Cam, you had your day in the sun. You had your day. And you know what? You had a second day. And the second day came and went, and you're done.
They don't give you more chances.
Why are you going to go, yeah, let's resurrect. It's the same. You know, if Cam Rising had established himself as being, wow, this guy's playing pretty good right now, we could go win with him. Right? We don't know if we can win with him. We don't know if he's going to be healthy. We don't. And you know what? We would rather take our chances on some young guy like a Brock Purdy, who may or may not. No one really knows what he's going to end up being.
Who knows?
But we don't. And so we're going to go find out. I mean, there's something there. So let's see what that pans out to be, because John Lynch is probably trying to be the next New England Patriots, and we found our Tom Brady late in the draft. You know, that Tom Brady's probably the bigger reason why this happened. But aside from that, we've been talking about two defensive-minded coaches talking about quarterbacks, which is kind of sacrilegious because they don't know about quarterbacks. Like if you're a quarterback, those are the two worst places you want to be are coaches that are defensive-minded. Because they just don't understand how to develop a quarterback. They understand how to rip him apart. They understand how to get him out of there, you know, kind of mindset. They don't understand the psyche and the mindset of – they don't.
Did you see how
– they just don't.
Speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of Tom Brady, did you see how pissed Belichick was when he was asked a question about Lamar Jackson? Because Lamar Jackson, the request for a trade apparently was out there. And poor John Harbaugh gets caught with his – caught, you know, flat-footed because he goes, I haven't actually seen that tweet. You know, it means, right. Like when you tweet out your intentions, when your agent work is you tweeting it out,
yeah.
Like, hey man, I'm requesting a trade, and Belichick was asked about it and he was pissed. He's like, don't ask me questions about any player on any other team. And it's a smart move because the last thing you want to do is get accused of tampering or whatever. But I think there's also this mode too where you go, why are you guys signing up a quarterback for me? You know, why are you guys trying to give me somebody? I'm not interested in talking about any other people right now because one, Bill Belichick has a different way of operating than anybody else in the league. You might get desperate with other franchises that don't know what they're doing, and they just take a shot at somebody. Bill Belichick's not that guy.
But the Patriots are really good at finding that guy before anyone else does. Like he's like it's not the news doesn't come to him. He makes the news on guy because people go he signed that guy. What was he thinking there? And then the guy goes in place really well for him for a couple of years, and they go, oh, that's a pretty shrewd move, smart move. But Belichick isn't going to have someone dictate terms to him as far as who he wants. I guarantee you, if he wanted Lamar Jackson, and maybe if he does want Lamar Jackson, those conversations happen way in a dark room in a place far, far away from the owner's meeting.
Right. Yeah. And these reporters doing their job by asking those questions, you know, I get it. But you're not going to get something out of old Belichick. Okay, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got our two-minute drill, and then we'll get you ready for this Jazz v. Phoenix matchup tonight. Let's see what the Jazz bring to the table this evening. I think that everybody sort of felt like after the weekend that everything is being packed up for the year. Hey, pack this up, you guys. Let's figure this out. And, of course, as soon as you think that, the Jazz end up winning another game like this tonight. So we'll see. Lots of games this week for the Jazz. Very interested to see how these last nine games roll out. You're going to get pregame in just a few minutes, so stay right here. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All righty, sports fans, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell here with Alex Keery. The music is a reminder of the only thing that happens this time of day, and that's the two-minute drill. We don't have a lot of time, but we got a lot to talk about, so we talk a little bit about a lot of these things. Hurry up, finish the show. Well, do we finish? Yeah, we do finish.
You got Jazz.
You know, Jazz pregame coming up. All right, anyways, so let's go. Mark Madsen, you know.
I've heard of him.
Local latest, greatest flavor of coach here in Utah, has been offered the Cal coaching job.
Is that good enough?
Like, I don't know.
Well, that's a Stanford guy, too. You're asking to go to Cal?
Yeah. Can you really do that?
I mean, when
I saw this, I'm like, I mean, I guess with the – is Cal even a basketball school? It's not a basketball school.
I'm trying to think of Cal basketball players that have – I guess it would just be Jason Kidd, right? They'd be the only one you kind of – I'm
Jason
sure there are
Kidd
others out
Cal?
There. Yeah, Jason Kidd was a Cal guy. But he was I mean, is that good enough? Yeah, that's the question. This is the guy who hasn't even – let him get through the semifinals and possibly win an NIT before
what
we start
got
doing
to the
this
finals?
Kind of stuff. Come on. Look, it's further than Utah and BYU in recent years have both been to the semifinals of the NIT
and fell short in that game, or maybe even in the final. But either way, if UVU wins an NIT, I know it's the NIT. I know it is. But why would you think that Mark Madsen couldn't be able to do it? Look, this could be the next FAU. Could you imagine Utah Valley getting to the freaking
Final do you remember four? A couple of years ago when we were talking about how hot Mark Pope was? Wasn't he at UVU?
He fired it up at UVU
and
got the BYU job.
Like a lot of BYU folks going, he's going to do really well here and he's going to end up in Kentucky. Right? Because that's
right,
where he played.
That was his place, yes.
Maybe Mark Madsen's aspiration is to get back to Stanford.
Maybe it doesn't work out for Mark
Pope.
Is Mark
Madsen the next basketball coach at BYU?
Okay, now you're getting a little bit over your skis there, Scott. How dare you?
Me and Gwyneth Paltrow getting over our skis. Look, running into folks.
I love how they're all, no, you ran into me.
I know.
No. You ran into me.
Well, and I thought I was being assaulted.
I know. Like she busts out the big guns and goes, hey, that was a sexual assault there, brother.
The Me Too movement.
That was on the ski slopes. Well, and I'm telling you, like, so which one is it? No, you ran into me. You ran into my back. No, you ran into my back. In fact, I thought you were a perpetrator. Like, that's a good move. That's a good move to go, hey, look, I'm still traumatized. I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking about falling or getting hit on the hill at Deer Valley.
So isn't this the classic case of either going after a celebrity
or someone...
Just being really entitled and actually did run into someone else.
I don't know.
Where is the truth?
Okay. This has been dragged out a ton. And the guy wants $300,000 down from $3.5
million. Yeah.
At this point, that won't even cover his legal fees, I think.
Right, it won't.
Whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, Scott, we love Bobby Bonilla Day. But I don't know if we knew how much... Ken Griffey Jr. was still getting paid by the Reds. The deferred payments that he's getting this year at $3.59 million makes him the fourth highest paid player on the Reds roster.
Well, he was taking batting practice last week.
Well, to show off to his young team.
Say, this is
how
you
America.
Do it. This is how you do it.
That's
youngins.
Dude. Deferred payment over years, I mean, that's the best pension I've ever heard of. You know, just like, I'm going to take a few million dollars. Fourth highest paid player on the roster. Good for Ken Griffey Jr. You know what?
When is Ken Griffey Jr. Day? Is there a day for that?
When he signed an extension, deferred payments agreed to his contract in 2000. We are in 2023. And Ken Griffey Jr. is still getting $3.59 million this year from the Reds. So congrats to him. I'm absolutely thrilled for him because I love the kid. I love how we call him the kid. He's your age, Scott. He's 53. Ken Griffey Jr. is 53. That's how old you are.
So
I mean, you're a little bit older than he is, but not much.
He lived near me in Florida.
Yeah.
And then he built another house in Florida.
Yeah.
And it had a baseball diamond in the front yard.
That's how you do it. Yeah. Like, that's straight out of a movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like Brewster's Millions, you make a baseball diamond in the front yard. All right, Scott, that's where we're going to wrap it up here. Can we do this again tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Let's be back tomorrow. You've got Jazz pregame coming up. You don't want to miss it. Jazz v. Phoenix. The Suns taking on the Jazz. We'll see how they do tonight. Stay tuned right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.